I was born bold. Go back to work like a boss. Buy Blunstons for a chance to win 150K. Summer breakfast.
Well, yeah, obviously we wanted to win the game, and yeah, I thought we created enough chances to do so. So it's, yeah, I wouldn't say it's deflating. I think there's a lot of positives out of the game. I thought it was an awesome game of test match cricket. I thought India fought bloody hard like we knew they would. Yeah, clearly we're disappointed not to get a win, but yeah, I thought there were some good signs for us after the Melbourne test match.
They hung on for the draw, India, in a compelling day five of test cricket. You heard it all on SEN, and you heard Simon O'Donnell as part of our coverage for both Melbourne and Sydney. And he joins us this morning for Dulux Trade Centres. Morning, Scoob. Amazing day yesterday. An extraordinary day in so many different ways.
You go, Jack. Good day, Del. It was wonderful to witness, and to be able to talk about it while you're witnessing it was even more exciting. That was just brilliant what India did. You know, to go on a fifth-day wicket and only lose three wickets. They got a bit of a hand from the Aussie skipper dropping three catches, but to take those opportunities and be as strong as they were at the finish, I thought was a brilliant effort.
Was there a point where you started to doubt that Australia would take the wickets? We've been discussing it this morning. When did it start to sink in with you that this may not play out the way that Australia wanted it to?
Oh, not only that Australia might not take the wickets, that India might win the test match. Mm. That was looking at genuine possibility when Pant was going. That really took the game out of Australia's hands, and we didn't have any answers. So, and I still think if Lahari doesn't do a hammy, I still think they're in the game. It had all the twists and turns of a what you like to see in a fifth day of a test match. And, it was just compelling stuff, as you said, Jay. You couldn't take your eyes off it because, the twists and turns. And, for India to come to the SCG on day five with the attitude that, hey, we're going to chase down 400-plus here and win the test match, and they're going to put Risbah Pant up to bat at five and take the wind out of the Aussies in that first session. That was just a brilliant piece of test match planning and execution.
Scoob, I'd love to get your take on the tactics. It's something that we have discussed this morning about the style of the delivery. So not necessarily the execution, but the shorter ball and trying to get a catch around the back and bat, and how long you persist with that until you think, hey, not quite working in that manner, time to change.
Yeah, Del, that went on for too long in my opinion. There comes a time in any game of cricket where you've got to make a decision on, each ball you bowl, how many ways can you get the batsman out? Now, bowling at the stumps brings into, account, many opportunities of getting out from LBW to court to bowled, bat pad, lots of different ways of getting batsmen out. Having that sort of leak theory in bowling, probably there's two ways of getting a batsman out. Consider it three if you get hit in the helmet and get concussion. There's probably three. So, I think we persisted with that too long. But there was a genuine plan for that because, that was an instruction. Bowlers wouldn't go out and bowl that short consistently if there wasn't an actual plan to back that up, that this is the way we're going to knock India over. And it just didn't work.
And Scoob, the fielding, it's been a conversation for three tests now for both teams, and Australia felt like they might have fixed it a little bit leading into this, but sort of the same mistakes keep happening game after game. What is it and how hard is it to fix?
So that's good. When your captain grass is three, it's a difficult one. I'm not sure how you who marches up in front of him. I don't reckon you keep him that well any day.
I'm glad you're laughing about it. No one else in Australia is laughing except you.
So I'm not sure who got voted in last night while having a cold beer to say, look, jump on the seat next to Payne on the plane and give him a bit of a razz with you, please. So I don't know who does that. They'll just work hard, there's no shortcuts, and hard work is the only way you're going to rectify. I don't think it's technique. It's just one of those things. Sean Abbott comes on the ground after sitting for 4.5 days doing nothing, and suddenly he's in a hot spot. you know, to take a catch in the fifth day of a test match. It's all that was, you know, part of the story yesterday was, you know, the guys coming on and off with injuries. You know, it was sort of a procession over the last few days, and it'll be interesting to see exactly what personnel take the ground on Friday for the final test, which, you know, everyone can't wait for, because it's been such a wonderful series so far.
Do you think they'll go in with the same 11, Scoob, or are changes through injury and through fatigue? Could we see a couple of changes within the Aussie team, do you think?
I would think the only thing they would look at, you know, now barring injury, is, you know, that if any of the bowlers are carrying niggles, there might be a rest there for one of the bowlers. But I would think they'd like to go in with the same 11 if physically they're all okay.
What did you make of a lot of conversation this morning? Very polarising, the conversation between Ashwin and Tim Payne. What's your take on that?
I think it's just, you know, it's a test match and two blokes going hell for leather. I you know, there was no bad language. There was, you know, a couple of personal insults about where their careers were at and what sort of personalities they had within their playing group. But I don't think that's the first time it's happened in sport, and it won't be the last. And, you know, you're on a fifth day of a test match. So I think those sort of things are part and parcel of what goes on. Tim Payne's trying to get Ravi Ashwin to drop his concentration for a ball or two to create an opportunity, and Ravi Ashwin's letting Tim know that, mate, you mightn't be on the next tour of India because you just grassed three catches.
So what happens Friday? And as we say, it's a quick turnaround. Australia have got an unbelievably good record playing at the Gabba, but that's normally when it's the first test of the summer. And you've got India who are going to be riding this wave of momentum, but they may not have 11 fit players to choose from. What happens on Friday?
You know, I don't know what the makeup ends up of their team. You know, they brought a big squad out. I'm not sure how many of the white ball players stayed in the hub. So we'll figure that out as the week goes on. The one thing we all know now is you don't underestimate this Indian lineup.
No.
You know, after Adelaide, I think everyone thought, well, Australia's just going to keep the foot on the throat and this series is all over. They turned a 36-run second innings into a winning test match in Melbourne, and they turned a 400-run plus deficit in the second innings in Sydney into a five-wicket draw. Mm. They're resilient, these blokes, and they want to be the best test match team in the world. And no matter what you put in front of them, it doesn't seem to faze them. Now, 10 or 15 years ago, away from home and all the pressures of the hub, etc., it would have fazed them, and I think Australia would have dominated the series, but not this group. So who knows what they bring to the table next week. But what you can be assured of, they'll be giving everything they've got.
What do we bring to the table then, Scoob? If we think that we sit here and know what India are going to bring, and a great summary of the last three tests, what about Australia? Are we deflated? Are we the ones that are all of a sudden tired that we didn't get the desired result yesterday?
Yeah, we're tired. The guys will wake up this morning and, you know, how couldn't we have got that job done? You know, they still created opportunities. You know, it's sort of a, you know, you listen to these press conferences now after the games, and, you know, you don't glean much from them. Yes, you know, we created opportunities and, you know, we didn't take them, and that's probably pretty much right. India, you know, were given the odd lifeline and they took it. So, you know, both sides, I think, you know, came to win the game and draw the game, you know, in particular India's case on the final day. And the Indians got the better of it. But the Australians, you know, I think they can turn that around. They're a very good cricket team. And to have, you know, young legs like Pekulski and Green now part of it, and, you know, with both half centuries in Sydney, well, you know, I think that's a really good thing. You know, the only concern I would have going into Brisbane will be, are all the bowlers fit?
Mm.
You know, and you know, Hazelwood and Cummins, geez, they did a power of work. And, you know, Mitchell Starc was a bit off centre. He can be sometimes. It just seems to be what Mitch brings to the table at times, but he won't mind seeing a bouncy Gabba wicket, I wouldn't think. So I think his pace, if he's physically capable and not carrying any niggling injuries, he'll be back nearer 150 than 135.
Recovery is going to be a very, very important next couple of days for the Aussies. Scoop, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Jack.
Yes, Simon.
The usual. Wonderful to be talking to you.
You're my favourite cricket commentator, Simon. Oh, thank you so much. It should be great. Simon O'Donnell joining us for Dulux Trade Centres. For all your professional painting needs, head into your local Dulux Trade Centre or Inspirations Paint. Summer breakfast here on SEN. Brody Smith to join us in the next 25 minutes. Daniel Hughes from the Sydney Sixers as well. Summer Flyers not too far away also.
Yes, please.